Let's go to God in prayer.
Oh Lord, we come before you this morning. We give you thanks, first and foremost, for watching over us last night and allowing us to wake this morning with a reasonable portion of health, in our right minds, with the mindset to come to worship you in spirit and in truth. We thank you, Lord, for the many blessings you have bestowed upon us. Without you, Lord, we could do nothing. You make it possible. You make all things possible. Even though we know life is not a bed of roses, everything is not ever going to always go our way, you continuously bless us and keep us in your care. When we look and see others that are a little less fortunate than we are, we realize that we are truly blessed. Lord, we ask that you would be with us this morning as we continue in this lesson that we have been studying. Help us to better have an understanding of your word, to better to be able to spread it to others, to better to be able to live it each day that we live to the best of our ability. Forgive us when we fall short. Forgive us when we sin. Lord, we have those that we know that are ailing of our number and those that are not of our number. We pray that you would comfort them, aid their illness, heal their bodies. Help them, Lord, to be stronger in their faith. If they do not know you, help them to learn more about you and have a desire to change their life. We ask it all in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.
Amen.
All right, come on in, brother. Good morning. We're on page 80 in our book, which hopefully we're going to try to finish up this lesson this morning and we can start a new lesson next week. But in the meantime, we have been studying about the Israelites and their unfaithfulness and what it cost them. And hopefully we are able to compare it to our everyday living and help us not to fall into some of the same pitfalls that they fell into. We have a couple of scriptures that pertain to this section that we're going to be looking at on the bottom of page 80. The anger of the Lord was hot. Well, we're going to run over these, not literally run over, we're going to just read over these other scriptures that pertain to this section. From, you have your Bibles, you're following your Bibles, it's in Judges chapter 2, verses 20 to 23. And it reads, starting at verse 20, "Then the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he said, because this nation has transgressed my covenant, which I commanded their fathers, and has not heeded my voice, I also will no longer drive out before them any of the nations which Joshua left when he died, so that through them I may test Israel, whether they will keep the ways of the Lord to walk in them as their fathers kept them or not. Therefore, the Lord left those nations without driving them out immediately, nor did he deliver them into the hand of Joshua." Okay, let's turn back over to page 80. And the bottom of page 80, the anger of the Lord was hot. Can I get someone to pick up there? Okay, go ahead. And you can go ahead and read that whole section if you don't mind.
Okay. The people of Israel learned the hard way that sin had consequences. God is not is no machine. His anger when people are faithless is no neck-jerker reaction to transgress God's law, and to turn one's back on a covenant made with him is not like tripping over a wire that sets off an explosion. The defeat of Israel was not mechanical. Was not a mechanical response. God was hurt, and he was angry. It was not that Israel broke some immutable law of nature when they worshipped the Baals. They offended a personal God. God reasoned with his people. He gave them a law, and he fulfilled the promise he made to their fathers. But when they angered him, he turned them over to the terrors of their enemies. Few things are of more importance for God's people to learn of him than this. Sin is a personal offense against the God who formed us and loves us. Although Moses was still with the people, he had pleaded with them, whose life they boast you and your descendants may, so that both you and your descendants may live. The people had chosen death. The short-term consequence of the Israelites' sin was that foreign people took over their lands and oppressed them. The long-term consequence was that God said he would no longer drive out the old inhabitants of the land. They would remain to test the people of God. God grants his people a great deal of freedom. They have the freedom to obey. To obey him or to turn their backs, and either way, they will have to deal with the consequences.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. As we have been studying, we see that the Israelite people, which we talk about the whole Israelite people, and basically it was the majority of the people, but we also have to realize and understand the Israelites, the ones that came across, left Egypt, came across the Red Sea, and came into the Promised Land, a lot of those were not there anymore. This is the next generation. And as my wife and I were discussing part yesterday and part this morning, and I'm sure some of you have been guilty, I know I have. When you get old enough, you decide, I'm not going to do this anymore. Even though you've been instructed, you've been taught, you've been brought up, you've been raised, this is what you're supposed to do. I'm grown, man. I'm bad enough where, I'm grown enough where I don't feel like I need to do this. You know, I used to have to scrub floors in my mom's house and my parents' house every weekend. That was my job. First thing Saturday morning, you get up, after you eat breakfast, go to work, clean the house. I got my own house now. I ain't clean no house today. Sunshine and bright, my friends out. You know, we're not playing football no more like we used to when we were kids, but we're out doing other stuff, you know. Maybe still out there playing softball or something. Going some other place, you know, having fun. Getting up, cleaning the house. Going somewhere, going to do something. I clean it tomorrow, clean it next day. Yeah, I clean it Sunday. Sunday, go to church. No, I ain't going to church. I clean the house Sunday, because I get it clean before I go to work next week. That's not important. But that wasn't the way I was raised. But when you get older, you tend to stray. So this is what got the Israelites into this situation. And they made God angry, where he says that you messed up first. But I made a promise. It made me think about how somebody, you borrow money from somebody, and they die. But their family's still living. Right thing to do is go and say, hey, I borrowed this money from your father or your mother or whatever, and I'm sorry that you lost the past, but I want to pay my debt, and here's what I borrowed. Now, they say, oh, that's all right, don't worry about it, you're all right. That's all well and fine. But the right thing to do is to pay your debt. But we as a people sometimes say, well, they're gone now. They can't use it, so hey. Some people even say, that's just like Jesus. He paid it all, so I don't want, they're gone. God's not like that. He made a promise to Abraham, and he's going to keep this promise to the descendants, even though they did not live the way they're supposed to live. What a great God. And he's still trying to keep that promise today. Because we have gotten a long way from there, but we still have the same opportunity and the same freedom to do what we know is right. And so we get to the point where even we see the example of what Moses tried to tell them, choose the right way of doing things. And if you choose the right way, God will continue to bless you. Don't do it because I said do it. I'm not even going to be here with you all the time. But do it because this is the right thing to do. And as the generation came up after that, they do like so many. I don't see nothing wrong with it. We're not supposed to bow down to their gods, but hey, if we bow to their gods and then keep our gods, hey, then we in good shape. We got plenty of gods. That's not the way it works. God said, worship me and me only. You should have no other God before you than me. And they weren't there. So they heard stories and they know about how they came out of Egypt and they came through the Red Sea and God did this and God did. But they didn't see that. So they felt like, well, no God did that for y'all, but these folks believe in this God and they're here now. And we're about to go along with what they said. That's not what you're supposed to do. God knew this and he told them not to follow that way. But they did. Yeah.
Well, Wesley, when I was reading this, it came to me that, you know, we act like our actions don't affect God.
Mm-hmm.
But they do. God has emotions. Our actions can cause him to feel anger.
Oh, yeah.
Towards us. We can hurt him.
Mm-hmm.
We can affect his great love for us. So yeah, what we do, it's a personal involvement. It's just like if we do something to hurt our spouses,
mm-hmm.
you know, it hurts them, it affects them, it affects how they respond towards us. And it's the same with God. We're supposed to be in a relationship with him. And so our actions will affect how he feels, what he thinks, and how he's going to act upon on those feelings. Why do we think that what we do or say does not affect him?
Because we don't take it personal. We don't take it personal. Another thing we my wife and I discussed, and I don't really know personally any views. I don't know personally any Mormons, I think it's Mormons, Amish, yes, thanks. Yeah, you must be on the same brain, man. I don't know them personally, but from what my understanding of them is, they got the same problems that we got. Their kids grow up and straight away. But whereas we got a religion where you can take it or leave it, their religion is a way of life, which is supposed to be the same for us. You did it because this is what you was raised to do, not because do what I said do, because I'm your parent, or as some of us may have been taught, you do what I said, and don't ask me nothing else, you know. But they are instilled, you need to do this because this is what God said. You need to do this because this is how we are like. This is how we live. And yes, some do stray, but a whole lot still stay there. But with us, we have the free will just like they do. But we tend to go with the wind, whichever way the wind blows. You know, I know about God, but hey, you know, I've been raised in a church. I know I'm supposed to be at church on Sunday. Somebody's church. But some people do consider that. And then some people consider, well, not just in a church, I got to be at the right church, which is great. And then you got some that don't even consider it at all. Well, I worked all week. Sunday's my day of rest. God rested on Sunday. Why I can't rest? You know. Okay. you rest. When your eternal rest comes, tell God about that. Mm-hmm. You know, that you thought you deserved rest. And he's going to give you some more eternal rest. It's not going to be the way you want it, though. But if we want to take one part and pattern our life behind, we need to pattern all the life behind, you know. As the saying goes, you're in for a penny, you're in for a pound. You know, so we have to make it our way of life, make it personal.
Exactly.
And then we will do better. And as I try to keep in my mind and stress too, even though we are only one individual, we can still affect the lives of others. And we do. How many, you may not notice, but how many of your, let's say, your nieces and nephews, that's not your immediate family, but that's in your family, that you're closely associated with. How much do you affect their life? Do any of them do stuff that they see you do? Do they ever want to be like you? Do they say the same things that you say? Do they copy some of the stuff that you do? Funny thing about a child, they know exactly when to say the wrong thing that they have heard you say it, and exactly the right time to say it. You know, so they watch you, and then you got others that's out there. Yes.
Well, I was going to say your action can affect life.
Mm-hmm.
It reminds me of the story of Abraham looking with the Lord over Sodom and Gomorrah,
mm-hmm.
and Abraham bargained with the Lord. You know, if there's 10 righteous people, will you save it? The Lord said, if there's 10 righteous, I will save it. It went down to one. If there's one righteous person in there, I will save it.
Mm-hmm.
And so how that can affect God's decision. And you go back how Moses was.
Yeah.
You know, he interceded with prayers for the whole of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And God listened to him.
He did.
So it's a personal relationship that can affect the decision that God makes about a nation, about a person, about whatever.
I agree. Your context, I'm following your context, bargaining with God to affect it. But I think it started with 50, and it got down to 5.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
like I said, your context of what you're saying, I'm with you on that. And that's the purpose. It can affect, you know, other people.
Yeah.
And he did that for other people. Not for his sake, but for
exactly.
other people's sake. Yeah.
Okay,
I saw him.
No, I don't really know you.
Go ahead, sir.
You know, it's good for us to take the time and reflect on God's Word
mm-hmm.
and through the study. Again, we are reminded that God has what we would call feeling.
Yes.
An emotional feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And that he is a God who does understand us
mm-hmm.
more so. So, and here when we're just reading, that God was hurt.
Yeah.
Now, we as parents, when our children, no matter their age, no matter they're living under your roof,
mm-hmm.
wherever they are, if they're still breathing, if they do atrocities or deny God or do things which are not according to God's will, which, as we mentioned, they were brought up.
Yeah.
They know the way. And they do these awful things. Are we not hurt as well?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yes. And so also, he was angry.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we know it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of God.
Amen.
And we have for our learning what this compassionate God has done
mm-hmm.
to those who are erring. Like Sodom and Gomorrah. Got down to 4 souls. 5 souls came out, but 4
mm-hmm.
survived.
Mm-hmm.
Even through the action of pulling them out of danger, if you still don't obey, you ruin it. Yeah. And so again, when you were talking earlier, when God said, Noah, get into the ark. There's only one ark.
Right.
No other ship's going to do that ark. And God sealed the door himself.
Right.
So again, we're told, yes, there's does matter.
Yes.
And it does have consequences. And also, too, to be reminded that even though God is compassionate, I think we kind of lean on that more so, which is a good thing to reflect on. But also remember all his other attributes as well. That God is a jealous God.
Yeah.
And what does that mean? Well, think about your relationship with your significant other. You do things that are not approved or questionable. Things that it's just not right.
Right.
And so, but with God, he does not leave us clueless, if you will. He wrote down, hey, this is it. You want it straight with us, straight with me, with this relationship? Good. And that's a beautiful thing that we have with Moses. That he had that relationship. He was not being disrespectful to God when he was pleading on behalf of the people.
Mm-hmm.
He was very respectful and understood his place, but nonetheless, he was compelled to. Let's discuss this. And God is willing,
mm-hmm.
But ultimately, God's will be done.
All the time, yes. And he gives us still free will. After he tells you, this is what's going to happen. Not I'm making you, but you decide for yourself. As Moses said, choose yourself. Joshua said the same thing, choose yourself. So you can't say, well, God made me. And we tend to use that excuse, the devil made me. No. You
right.
made yourself.
Correct.
That's what a lot of people will find out, unfortunately, when they get the judgment. You had the choice. It wasn't like you didn't have the choice. You had the choice. And then you want to use another excuse. Well, everybody else, that's still no excuse. Just very good, though. Appreciate your comments. Let's go to a conclusion. Did somebody pick that up?
There are some timeless lessons for God's people to learn from the Israelites' failure to keep their covenant with God. One, God doesn't turn away from his people lightly. He's long-suffering. His steadfast love endures forever. Two, persistent rebellion by a people who have a covenant relationship with God invites disaster. Sin works like gangrene in the souls of those who practice it. No one gets away with sin. It separates people from God. Three, some consequences of turning one's back on God are worked out in this world. Whatever may be said of the world to come, in this life a price must be paid for rebellion against God. Four, character is built by persistent decision. The Israelites progressed in their rebellion to the point where God imposed long-term tests on the people to see whether they'd be faithful. After the coming of Jesus Christ, God's people are acquainted with grace to a degree unknown to the Israelites. Still, the Old Testament offers Christians teachings that are timeless. First Grace is 10:11. Those who put their trust in God will never trifle with sin. They'll give all their energies to serve him faithfully. When they fall short, they will turn to a gracious Lord and repent. They will not excuse their sins lightly or take God's forgiveness for granted. They will love him with all their hearts and souls.
Okay. Thank you. One important point to look at and remember and consider. The advantage that we have today compared to what the Israelite children had at that time. Anybody know what that is?
We have our Lord. The complete word.
Mm-hmm. Both of you are right. You have the complete word and we have our Lord. We also have repentance because of that. They had repentance through what we were studying, other judges. God took pity on them, raised up a judge, and through that they had repentance. But as far as them as a people or individually, they did not repent. They turned their life around when the judges told them, you need to stop doing this, you need to worship God, you need to be more faithful. They turned their life around, and like typically human people do, I'd do anything if you just stop this from happening right now. You know, that's not repentance. You just want to get back. Yes.
You looking at my notes?
Oh, no, 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 bro. God has inspired both of us. Excuse me. But, yes, we have that advantage because of his word, and we have a Savior. We have the opportunity to repent. And another thing that I wanted to, another point I wanted to bring out, that was one. I got it confused. But anyway, that was the main point anyway, that we have the opportunity to repent, where they at that time did not, but God still took pity on them and allowed them to change their ways, which they did to keep from being oppressed. But to have a repentant heart, you have to want to stop doing what you're doing. Only reason they follow what the judges told them to do was so that they could stop being oppressed. How can you know that? Because as soon as the judges or the earl said the lifespan during the time that judges were living, that particular judge for that particular time, as soon as they died, what did they do? They went right back to the same thing, the next generation. And they were also instructed to before they left Egypt, to write they were supposed to paint the blood on the doorpost. But after they left Egypt, they were instructed to remind their children, to teach them in the way, writing stuff on the doorpost, keeping his laws, his commandments, teaching the generation, as we commonly say, raise your child, bring your child up in the admonition of the Lord, let them know what the Lord did. And they did. Not saying that they didn't do it, but as we learn and know, child gets grown, he will stray. But if they have the foundation, they got something to come back to. If they don't have a foundation, then they don't have anything to come back to. And it'd be just like the blade of grass is blowing any kind of way the wind blows. There's woe on those that don't heed and be just like the Israelites, that I'll do anything as long as you take this oppression off me. But you have to learn, for what purpose? You know, don't just do as I say because I said do it, or because of who I am, or because of who your mother or your father is. Give the reason, because this is what God says. We have it in the book. As Jerry said, we have the word. We have the Savior interceding in our behalf right now. When we go astray. And we still have, in this day and time, we still have Christ interceding for us, because we have the avenue of repentance that we can go to, and he intercedes for us if we have a sincere heart. We can't just say, okay, I'm going to go because this one's going. I'm going to do right because this one's watching me. We can't just get up and be a Christian on Sunday and then Tuesday through Saturday, we can be who we want to be. You know, it's a 24/7 job, you know, regardless from the time you wake up, whatever day you wake up, the time you close your eyes to that day. And if you stay up 24 hours, you still be a Christian 24 hours. You know, that's what we're supposed to do. We're not supposed to be wishy-washy. So hopefully you all have gotten something out of this lesson. We'll start the next lesson next week. Is there any final closing remarks? Or Any comments anybody else want to add? God is good.
All the time.
And all the time.
God is good.
The lesson is yours. Thank you.